Final Fight is back in OCS form. It's Amigos, everything Amiga. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Amigos. I'm John.
And I'm Aaron.
Today, Aaron, we're talking about Final Fight.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's a big fight coming up before too long that the world is sort of ablaze with discussion about. It's Iron Mike. He's coming back to the ring.
Yes, sir.
He's fighting against is one of the Paul boys.
I believe it's Ron Paul. I think he's taking Ron
Paul. That's a fight worth watching.
Or it could be Rand. One of the two.
Rand Paul is tomato can. We know that from the incident that happened a couple years ago.
That's a good point. That's a valid point there. Is it Jake that he's fighting?
I think so, because Logan is a wrestler, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So Jake is the boxer.
Jake Paul, and you have seen him fight before in both UFC and boxing, right?
Who?
Jake Paul?
No, he's never fought in UFC. He would get murdered. Yeah, he's beat up UFC guys in boxing, mm-hmm. but that's not the same, not even close. That's sort of his speciality. You know, he beats up non-boxers, boxers that are over the hill, boxers that never were, and the only actual boxer he ever fought beat him. Now, here's the thing about Jake. I'm going to put him over. He's a natural athlete. He's a big guy. He's trains hard. He gets real trainers. He's not there ham and egging it. He actually works hard. And he's fighting a guy who is, how old is Tyson now? 56 or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, he's closer to 60 than 50.
Right. And so, what do we see here? I mean, we've seen. You're right. The world is ablaze, and this is certainly Mike's final fight. I would assume to stay in line with the theme. Mm-hmm. But listen, everyone on Earth would love to see him go in there and maul this geek. Okay. However, the guy's 56 years old or 50, however old he is. Paul is in his prime. Paul is way bigger guy. I've seen a lot of footage of Tyson punching the bag and whatnot. But, again, you're talking about a guy who does have knockout power in Paul. It's only Texas would they're only their crooked bass-ackwards commission would even let this fight happen. You're licensing a guy that's in his late 50s to fight a giant who's like in his early 30s.
Yeah.
I mean this is some Japanese pride level stuff that you're going to let happen. It's dangerous, frankly. What if Paul goes in there and kills this guy?
Yeah.
I mean, Mike Tyson's not a sweetheart, but I mean, we don't necessarily see him die in the ring. And we also know what can happen when fighters stick around too long. And I mean, and it happens over and over, and they get punch drunk, and then the rest of their lives, they're, you know, drinking through a straw, and they're all messed up. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. Because Tyson is he's making a lot of money, and he's got a lot of endorsements. He's got his own podcast. In his own lines of everything. So, I mean, he doesn't need to do this. I'm assuming they drove a dump truck full of money up to his houseboat or several.
Well, this is like when Terry Funk wrestled alone. He did it for pride.
It's not like that. It's not like that at all. Terry Funk wrestled until he was older than Mike Tyson, for starters. And secondly, Terry Funk is in a fake sport. It's fake. You know, when they actually hit Terry with a chair, they weren't really killing him.
That's
I mean,
true.
This is a assuming.
I mean, if you
want to
get specific,
on the up and up,
you've got a point.
You know,
now would you say that this is the biggest fight in probably the last 20, 30 years in the world of professional boxing?
No, not 30. No. It's the biggest. See, this isn't a fight. This is one of those sideshow type affairs. You know, I mean, it's not. It's an exhibition. Number one, it is an exhibition. They
what does
can't
that even
call
mean,
it a,
though, when they say it's an exhibition?
It's not. I believe it means it's not judged.
Really?
It limits the amount of rounds. I think it gives the ref additional powers to end the fight, stuff like that. The truth of the matter is, in a real fight, I doubt they could get licensed, even in Texas, even in Indiana. I don't, because I just, The reason is, if a guy goes out and gets killed, then they're held responsible for his death. Mm. Even the screwiest commissions don't want guys to die.
Right.
And there's a possibility of death in a fight like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge man pummeling an elderly man.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at it in that aspect, it's listen, am I going to watch it? Sure. Am I going to pay $100 to watch it? Heck no. No way.
No.
But I'll catch it on the flip side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But should it happen? Probably not. I used to watch a lot of like weird freak show stuff in Japan. Mm-hmm. They had a tournament called the it was a tournament, David and Goliath tournament, where they had little guys matched up with huge giants. That was the tournament. Well, guess what? These huge guys are like 7 foot tall. The little guys are like 5'2".
They just throw them out of the ring. That's the end. Yeah.
You know, this was it. This was MMA. This wasn't even wrestling. Mm. And so, I mean, to have a sumo wrestler fight a guy that's 5'1" and weighs a buck and a quarter, you know.
Mm.
But they got away with that because in Japan, it's like bizarro world. Anything goes over there. In America, we're supposed to look out for the athlete's well-being.
Yeah, well, speaking of freak show stuff out of Japan, let's talk about Final Fight.
You know, we don't often play games that were released the year that we're recording the show. This is one of the rare times that's happened, Boat.
Right.
It's only happened a bunch or twice.
You're right.
And this is Final Fight Enhanced. This just was released this year. And I guess before we get into Final Fight Enhanced, let's take a step back, Boat, back in time just for a moment. There was a game released way back in 1989, and it was called Final Fight,
mm-hmm.
a beat-em-up from Capcom, published and developed by Capcom, and it sort of redefined what a beat-em-up was in a lot of ways. Big,
so if
beautiful...
If you were going to chart sort of the trajectory of the beat-em-up as found in the arcades, what do you think the original arcade beat-em-up was? A lot of people would say Double Dragon, but do you think that there's a game that predates Double Dragon?
There probably is. I'm not an expert in beat 'em up category. Double Dragon was way back.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, in my mind, I can't keep straight what came first, but I know it was one of the first ones. And I would say it was sort of the pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say if you went down the line, this is the next one that is like a bullet point.
Yeah.
Because this had a lot of things that pretty much set the standard in the way these things are going to go. You know, you're going to pick your character. It's got big, beautiful graphics. It's got the health bars. That everything is set up like really to this day, you still see the setup is basically the same.
Mm-hmm.
Even in modern games, even the Double Dragon series pretty much did the same thing. And they sort of adapted to this series in a lot of ways. And this was a to say this was a hit for Capcom would be an understatement. It was a massive hit. It was just unbelievably popular and made them buckets of cash. I remember playing this for the very first time at the Billy Bob's in Huntington with Brent. We beat the game one day at Billy Bob's, and we couldn't believe the graphics and the sound. It just had everything. But
do you remember just a rough estimate of how much money you spent to beat the game, how many quarters it took?
Well, I believe we were at a birthday party, and so we had like a ton of credit. You know, they gave you a ton
quarters. Tons of tokens.
Oh, there's no way we would have beat it on our own dime.
Mm-hmm.
In 89, when this came out, I hate to say it's this year I graduated high school. And so that would have put Brent probably in middle school, I guess, mm-hmm. at the time. Plenty old enough to play this. Do you remember when you saw this, the original Final Fight for the first time? Did it leave a mark on you?
I do. I remember exactly where it was. It was at the old hills in Taze Valley. Remember the old hills?
Yep.
Now the hills is a Target. They had a little entrance section, a little breezeway that separated the main entrance from the store. And they had a couple cabs in there, and that was the first time that I saw Final Fight.
Yeah. And what did you think? Were you impressed?
I was blown away by it. I'd never seen a game that looked like that before. The graphics were so big, but it moved incredibly fast. Because up until that point, whenever you see a game that has huge honking sprites, things just kind of chug along. But in this game moves. It moves quick.
And it was beautiful. That was the key.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, this game spawned some, I would call Midland sequels, and Midland ranging toward garbage. That some of the console exclusive stuff was just the dirt worst, including the fighting game. But I mean, this I would say without a doubt, Final Fight 1, that's your money Final Fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, Final Fight is going to be released on every conceivable console and computer that can handle it. And the Amiga was no exception, Boat. And so in 1991, U.S. Gold, everyone's favorite, the gold standard, U.S. Gold, released Final Fight for the Amiga. This was developed by Creative Materials. And Creative Materials, boy, how many of the big Creative Materials classics can you remember, Boat?
Not a whole lot.
I'm looking over their efforts. California Games 2, Days of Thunder, which is widely considered one of the worst games on the Amiga. The Godfather's in here. Street Fighter 2, they did that, which is also considered garbage, because it is. They did the Summer Games 1 and 2, so it was a mixed bag. As long as they stayed in the 8-bit lane, they were okay. But when they tried to swerve out of it, it was a mass calamity for Creative Materials. And so I think I can say without any hesitation that the original Final Fight for the Amiga was a dud, big dud. I think we covered it on this show way back, Boat, and it was no good.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say this is like, if you look at where this stands in the pantheon of big arcade conversions, this is slightly, it's better than OutRun. It's probably better than Street Fighter, but it's still worse than like everything else. Garbage.
Well, I've got to, when we get a little bit later on in the review, I'll talk about my thoughts, because I went back to the Amiga version, spent some time last week.
Beautiful, beautiful. So that was released in 91, and then everything was quiet for a while, all right? And lo and behold, what comes out is Final Fight Enhanced 2024, created by a fellow named Brick Nash, also known as Prototron. It's funny, I looked on EAB when he announced, I went back to his very announcement of this thing here, and he writes, it's a very simple post. He says, I started learning assembly language last summer, so I thought I'd post a preview of what I'm doing, which is what he was previewing the game. And so this is early on, and he shows what he's doing. But this was an exercise in learning to apply assembly language in a game environment. This is what you're looking. This is what you're looking at here. And then, of course, it progressed until he had effectively a completed game. Which, and to be fair, this game is built with the backbone and the all the various items that were in the original Amiga Final Fight game. So when this is called Final Fight Enhanced, that's effectively what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He's attempted to take the original Amiga game and then improve on it in various ways. And we'll talk about how he did one way or the other. This works on ECS and AGA. Of course, this is free. This requires Kickstart 2 plus 2 megs of chip and half a meg of fast memory. So until you get that rejuvenator, your 1,000 is out of the loop on this one, Boat.
Yeah, well, I can understand it.
I will say this. I can't wait till you get that for the 1,000. That's going to be awesome. And we'll be playing crap that no one's ever played on a 1,000 before.
That's true. I'm already playing crap that nobody's ever played because of the Pacero, and so the Rejuvenator is going to kick it into high gear.
Very good. So, Boat, this starts up with a lovely arcade. It's got the arcade attract mode that comes up. It's quite nice. It even has the R-rated or the non-American version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few subtle changes.
Yeah.
She's in her lacy bra.
Mm-hmm.
So the premise of this is that Mayor Hagar, he's going to clean up this city. The problem is the thugs aren't happy. So they kidnap Hagar's daughter. And they're like, listen, just take the kickbacks they're going to give you and shut up. Oh, we're going to, like, take care of your daughter, mm-hmm. you know. Hagar's not sitting down for that. It turns out the daughter's also dating one of his buddies. So we've got a couple tough guys who are angry that this girl's been kidnapped. Plus, we've got a new player on the scene this time around, as they've added a girl character. I think her name is Mako, and she she's from the second Final Fight game that, I mean, I think I've played the second one, but I don't recall much about it. So, what'd you think about this opening, Bo? And the way everything flowed, were you happy with this?
Yeah, I didn't realize until we were covering this game that there was a slightly altered introduction in the U.S. version versus the Japanese version. Of course, the Japanese version, as it always is better, and I'm glad that they restored that back in there.
It's sexy Final Fight.
That's right, and then they added all of Maki's stuff in there too, and I guess originally I think Cody is the daughter's, Jessica I think is her name, her boyfriend, and then Guy, he's just sort of another guy. He's like Cody's buddy that's along for the ride.
That's right. So anyone that dresses like Guy, he's ready to go. Yeah. He's got the gi on and stuff, so he's ready to whoop a butt.
You know, it's interesting. Do you know if this came out after the original Street Fighter, or did this come out before that?
You know, I think this came out before Street Fighter. Let's look and see. You talking about Street Fighter 1
Street
or 2?
Street Fighter 1.
I'm going to look right now on the fly. So while I'm looking this up, Bode, the music, the visuals, were you down with the clown with all this stuff?
Yeah. I mean, I think the music was rewritten from the ground up for this release, which was cool.
It's not. I mean, at least the opening theme is identical to the original. That's from what I could tell. Because I went back and looked at the music.
The in-game music is totally different. So. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you about that. And also,
Street Fighter 1 came out in 87.
Okay, so this is
on my birthday.
Yeah, this is after Street Fighter 1. So anyway, the music in this is I would say it's a step up from the arcade version, but it's nowhere near as good as, say, you know, the classic beat 'em up soundtrack of something like Streets of Rage.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that. But, I mean, Streets of Rage came down the pike a little bit later.
They rewrote the music. Some Amiga guy wrote the music in this game. This is not the same music that's in the arcade game.
By the way, just for the record, Street Fighter 2 also came out after this. So this really was the one that kind of, because this has got the life force that sort of looked like Street Fighter 2 and stuff. So this really was the one that sort of kicked it down the line.
This game was a huge, I think I'd read somewhere in the history of Street Fighter 2 that this game played a big part. You know, the guys, they saw this and they're like, all right, well, we know what we're doing when we're doing Street Fighter 2. We're going to put in these life bars and it's going to be great. So
I'll tell you something me and my brother talked about when we first played this was the life bar system they put in this was so good. I told Brent, I was like, you know, they could use this for any sort of theme.
Mm-hmm.
And they ultimately did in a lot because then it's the beat 'em up. So you got your X-Men, your Turtles, all that stuff. It was all, you know, but this was the first time we really saw this. It was like, okay, now we got something even more than Double Dragon. So, again, you've got the final fight, you've got the plot, you've got the theme. So now you get down to the nitty-gritty, which is the gameplay. And this is really where the original Final Fight for the Amiga sort of fell down.
Mm-hmm.
It looked okay. I mean, you're going to get graphics color-wise that are a notch below the arcade or your favorite console. However, I thought the palette chosen here and the way it all looks, I thought that was a big improvement. And I also liked, I mean, you could tell right away, and I will say me and Bo played this for the first time at Amigathon. Right when you grab hold of this, you know right away that it plays much better than the original.
Yeah.
It's smoother. I mean, it feels like you're controlling a character better. The other game feels like the controls, it's almost like you're controlling like a doll or something. It moves real goofy, not smoothly. And they've done a good job of laying down the controls in this. You've got punch, kick, and then if you hit both buttons, you'll get your special move. And it works fine. I believe most of the time I played the new character, And she sort of got on like she sort of got on guys gi, except but she's a but you know it's a sexy version.
Right.
And, but all these people play pretty well. What did you think of the way this felt when you picked it up and got into a boat?
Well, you know, all the characters are more or less the same in terms of like the damage they do. Nobody's ultra powerful and slow. It's not like a Street Fighter 2 type thing. But yeah. I do enjoy the different styles. For example, when you play as Guy, he does this like back fist sort of, you know, attack as his main attack. Cody's got the straight in jab. So, and it's nice to have a little bit of variation in the game.
Yeah.
This game, the big difference in the in between this game and the Amiga original is, of course, this was a design for two buttons, so two button sticks. So that's obviously advantageous. But also, the enemy placement in the original game was very haphazard. In this game, what the designers did was they looked at where the enemies were placed in the arcade game, and they based their enemy placement off that. In the Amiga original, I don't know if it was an attempt to make the game more challenging so that you wouldn't be able to beat it as easily, but the enemies just come fast and furious all the time, straight out of the gate. And it makes the game super, super challenging, considering, like you said, the controls are a little bit janky at best, and unresponsive. So I was really impressed. The color palette didn't bother me in this game because this is kind of a gritty, urban wasteland, metro city. Everything doesn't have to be super cartoony and vibrant. Having the muted palette, I thought was fine.
Yeah, I think they did a good job. I mean, especially given what they had to work with. Mm-hmm. I think it looks quite nice. You know, one of the things that was very popular in the arcade about this game is that you could pick up a multitude of weapons in this, and you could pick up swords and knives and all sorts of things. This gives you a taste of that. There are certain areas where you could pick up a pipe, for example, but there are no swords. There's just little things missing in areas that you would normally pick up. I think a part of that is the fact you've got to remember this is sort of built on the backbone of another game. Mm-hmm. And so I think some of the limitations are pretty much down to the fact that this wasn't in the original version of the game.
Yeah.
But having played this on other systems, you know, most systems give up a little bit. And I think, Boat, now strike me if I'm wrong here, Boat. This was released on the Super Nintendo back in the day with only one. It only had one player, wasn't that?
That's correct. It only had one player, and it was actually a very early release for the Super Nintendo. It was part of the first year of launches of launch games. So this came out in 1991 for the Super Nintendo too. I would say it plays a little bit worse than this game. There's a little bit more slowdown. The colors are better, of course. The soundtrack is insane because the Super Nintendo has a very unique sound chip. It's
yeah.
got like these synth sounds that are kind of like the womp, womp, womp. You know, it doesn't really fit the dark urban landscape of Final Fight, although they try and make it. It is amusing. If any game was made for the FM, kind of that Genesis style, like sort of rough edged sound, it's a game like this. But the biggest fault, of course, in Final Fight is that it launched with only a single player. And later on, I believe in 1992, they rectified that by releasing a game called Final Fight Guy, where you could play as two players, but still, yeah, it was that's unacceptable for a game like this because that's where all the fun is teaming up with a buddy.
Yeah, and it's I will say, me and you had a real good time going through it.
Yeah,
when we played it at an Amigathon, it's fun. It's kind of funny to go back. And you said you played the original,
mm-hmm.
and I played it back in the day and had a look at it this week, and you sort of pointed out one of its biggest flaws, and that is the way the enemies fight you. It's It's weird. It's a weird game where there are stretches of nothing and then swarms of everything. Mm-hmm. And that's, and so from a gameplay perspective, they really have improved on that element. But it's not just that. It's just not only does your character move smoother and less, I mean, I don't, not just smoother, but just kind of, the other one just sort of shuffled around in a weird way. These move a little more, it, really they move more like, I wouldn't say they're exactly like the arcade, but they're more like, say, the Genesis or a console version. They're not as smooth as their arcade counterparts, but they still move better than they used to.
And I mean, even the original arcade game is not the the smoothest thing you've ever seen in your life. You know, it's still an arcade game from 1989. So I would say it's definitely a lot closer to the arcade version than the Amiga version, the original.
Sure, I think you're dead on there now. Of course, like I mentioned, this thing is missing more than a few things in it. Aside from the fact that it doesn't have all the pickups, doesn't have the bosses in the exact right order. You also, the moves are slightly different than you would remember from the arcade. In fact, so there are a couple moves that are just flat out missing. But I assume that's because they weren't in the original. Mm-hmm. I had to go back and try it out. But I found overall that there was enough there for me to enjoy myself. We did run into did you run into any glitches this week when you were playing this? Because I ran into a couple.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of things that happens. For example, like the timer is sort of, sometimes it runs, sometimes it doesn't run. Yeah. And I don't know if that's by design or not. I had some weird graphical glitches happen to me over the course of playing. Nothing where I never had it fully freeze on me. I played for almost, 45 minutes straight on my first go round, and had no issues. My big complaints with this game are that, they're my main complaints with Final Fight, that you can't get better than the original, and the original is not a perfect experience. There's a lot of repetitive enemies. You face the same, five or six enemies over and over and over again. Now this game is, I think it's a little bit too easy. You're able to pretty much play until you get tired. There's no difficulty select. I would have appreciated a difficulty slider and maybe some rewards if you play it on a higher difficulty level. And again, I also missed, because half of the fun in this game is all of the things that you find to pick up. In the arcade original, there's money you can find and jewels and stuff like that. And it just kind of, it makes the gameplay a little bit less monotonous when you don't know what kind of stuff you're going to be picking up. Now, and that, all that said, I thought that the weapon implementation was great. You're never sure. That's usually one of the things to fall down in a conversion, is how well do they do the weapon pickups and stuff like that. But they did them well here. I found this game to be almost like a meditative experience. I put this thing on and I just kind of zoned out. It wasn't particularly challenging. I just mowed through guys. It's sort of like when you play Walker, it's just, sometimes it's fun to just beat some suckers up.
Yeah, I agree. I did notice that the bosses are not as difficult in this version as they are in the arcade. I mean, really, all of them I thought were much simpler from Damned On. And I also thought that the guys aren't as, and again, going back to the Amiga original, where it was just like they just were relentlessly on you. These guys act more like in the arcade, like you said, but that does make it quite a bit easier than the original Amiga version, in my opinion. What did you think? Having played both this week, would you say this is a lot easier than the original?
This is the easiest beat 'em up I've ever played in my life. on any system. You can fly through this thing with no problems whatsoever. I only use the punch. I played as Cody. And I just punched guys, and I made my way through it. Like I said, I played for 45 minutes straight without losing a life. The only reason why I stopped is I had to go to the bathroom, and I went for the pause button, but my keyboard was turned upside down. I accidentally hit F11 and exited WHD load. So,
why was your keyboard upside down, Boat?
Well, it's because I was in slug mode on the recliner. And the keyboard was just resting on my gut. It's the old, where it goes. Yeah.
That's your favorite way to play anymore. You know, this is available again for free, and it's in disc mode and WHD load mode as well. I want to talk on something just briefly. This game, say what you will about it, all right? And I think it's quite an achievement, frankly. I think he made something from nothing, if you want the honest truth. I think he did a good job. And he mentioned that this was a coding exercise. And so when I looked around to research this week, I saw a lot of people giving this guy grief, if you could believe it, over various things.
It's the Amiga.
I'm thinking to myself, no, that happens on there. That happens a lot of places. But the guy is, I mean, for someone who's a quote-unquote learning, I think this is quite good. Yeah, it has some glitches and stuff, but you got to understand what the guy's doing. But I don't think I have to tell most of our listeners this, but I'm going to say it just because it bugged me. Like, my God, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, for Pete's sakes.
Maybe, I mean, here's this the thing. If this doesn't do it for you, what do you want? You know? What's going to do it for you if this doesn't do it for you? Because this is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah. How stunned were we when we fired this up at the Amigathon? We couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
You know? If only this guy could have a crack it out run. We'd be laughing, you know. Believe it or not, this has been up long enough to get some action on Lemon.
Oh, great!
Boat. The enhanced version has a 8.13 score, which is very good. And it's funny, the original version of this had like a 5.25. So this it was quite the raise. It's funny what a little bit of just elbow grease can do. Of course, it took 30 years to get. First way to do it, but still, I call that a win. Of course, this hasn't been reviewed by any formal magazines, but we did have some people in our Discord have a look at this thing. But did you get any action on that?
Yeah, man. We'll start things out with Pajaco 6502. He says, it's easy to think that apart from adding Maki from the second game, there isn't much difference to the original port. Having also gone back and compared them both, they are worlds apart in what has been updated. Improved two-button control scheme works really well. The original was just, well, it was one button, so I'll give the developers a pass, but it was dog poop to play with. We now have music and freaking sound effects in-game. Also gone is the low frame rate and terrible flickery mess of sprites. Remaster seems much easier, and you can cheese your way through most of the game. I got fairly far into it with the three continues, and ultimately I had fun, and that is the important thing. Getting in those gangbang death loops on the original narked me right off. The only very minor annoyances for me were reload time on continues and picking up objects felt too pixel perfect when beating up baddies like they owed you money was extremely loose on the old sprite collision. Okay, the original had to run on the A500 and the remaster needs an upgraded A600, but it's a really solid effort for a lower spec machine than the 1200, so kudos to the developers for choosing that route. A little more work could get this even better, but heck, for a passion project that is free, it's pretty awesome. More of this kind of thing, please. 9 out of 10. Umface Poohans writes, never played Final Fight on the Amiga or otherwise, but what I played of this, I enjoyed. Two-button support on my CD32 pad doesn't seem completely wasted. Music and sound effects at the same time, what's not to like? Things got a bit buggy later on in the game for me. This might be my setup, as the game does state it needs all the 2 meg of chip RAM that is a requirement. 30 years later, and I still never get my head around why chip RAM and fast RAM are so different. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I'm sure that someone can school you up on that. But yeah, that's the one thing you have to have here for the two. But hey, he's right. The addition of sound effects and music is nice. The fact that you have to have a slightly more advanced Amiga in 2024, I think that's a okay trade-off boat, in my opinion. Again, you won't be able to purchase this, but it's freely available.
Yeah, I think the easiest place to find it is just search for Final Fight Enhance Indie Retro News, and then go from Indie Retro News' page to the download link.
There you go. Go give this a shot. If you're a beat-em-up fan, if you're a Final Fight fan, or you just want to see what they've changed, I think this is a welcome addition to the Amiga gaming family here in 2024. Well done, sir.
Are you a sketchy tech?
Do you have the right tools for the job? Have there been incidents? Next time, don't try to fix it yourself. Send your broken Amiga to Retro Rewind. Get a full diagnostic, a reasonable estimate, and the peace of mind knowing that your machine is in the hands of real technicians with decades of experience and cutting-edge repair equipment. Save 10% off your repair with the promo code AMIGOS10. Thank you to RetroRewind.ca for supporting this episode.
Amiga News.
All right, Aaron, it's been a busy week in the world of Amiga News. You know, we just got done having a long conversation with Kickstart founder Ravi Abbott. You can go over to AmigaShow.com and book your tickets for 2024 Kickstart on the 29th and 30th of June. It's going down in Nottingham at the Meadow Lane Football Stadium in Nottingham in the UK. After party at the Saltbox Bar. I want to give just a little plug because there's been some new additions to the guest speaker list, Aaron. In fact, if you just go to AmigaShow.com, we can look together. The great thing about Kickstart is that it is a community-first event. There are tons and tons of talks. There's a community room where you can bring some games and do some trading. But in addition to that, there's also a full room of exhibitors, special guests, and performers. Headlining this event are Pete Cannon from N4 Records, chart-topping music producer who creates his tunes with the Amiga. You got Stu Cambridge, what else needs to be said, my future roommate or housemate in the Airbnb. He's known for doing the art for Cannon Fodder and Sensible Soccer.
You're lucky you liked his games, Boater. God they didn't hook you up with the guy from one of the other, one of your arts, Cygnosis.
Yeah, you're with the bitmaps, Boat.
Next year, I'm going to bribe Ravi.
Tony Warner, who is a designer. He designed Beneath a Steel Sky, Aaron. So how cool is that?
Oh, yeah. And Lure of the Temptress. Yeah.
And so in addition to that, we've got some great performers at the after party. We got Pete Cannon, Hoffman, David Wise, and Vogue Renege. So listen, this is going to be great. Head on over, like I said, to AmigaShow.com. Get your tickets now and join me and a bunch of the Amigos. It's going to be happening. It's 92 days away, so get on there.
Look, Trevor Dickinson's going to be there, Bo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cool. I can't wait. I'm going to try out one of those new boards. I'm sure he's going to have one with him.
Mr. Pleasance is going to be there. Mm-hmm. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
So, like, all the usual suspects and a whole slew of new blood. It should be a good time, Boat. Ravi's really put something special together over there. I'd love to get over this sometime myself. So I know you're going to have a good time, Boat.
Well, Ravi was telling me about some of the vendors that are going to be there, and there were places that I'd never heard of before. So I thought I'd list one of them, retroez.com. Check out some of the stuff that they've got here. If you are in the UK and you are on the hunt for, various upgrades for your Amiga, overseas shipping these days from, of course, we really want you to go to retrorewind.ca, but shipping is prohibitive, as they say, to send things across the pond sometimes. Why not get a grease weasel, a quad ROM switcher, all the things you need to make your Amiga sing. RetroEZ is, I looked at stuff that I just never seen before, especially a lot of this. I'll tell you what's hot these days, Aaron. It's the old face plates and back plates. When you were hot and heavy in the PC scene, when you and the Chud were yucking it up in Huntington, how often did you upgrade your face plates and your back plates to be, up with the latest fashion?
Well, we never did that.
Really?
Well, most of them I didn't have a faceplate or a side on my machine.
Really?
Because no one ever... This is a whole generation that's different. Like, we weren't from the kit computer era. We were from, like, the, like, work on it at home, like, we don't give a crap what it looks like era. Like, nobody I knew give a crap about the way their system looked. So, yeah, that's something that's sort of more new than what we were up to. But, hey, if that's your cup of tea, more power to you, brother.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'd never heard of RetroEZ.com before. And so, give them a look if you're in the market for some Amiga stuff.
The good thing about the these retro computers and Amigas, like, there's tons of people selling this stuff, and it's not like they all carry the same stuff. Right. One guy's got some stuff, some other guy's got other stuff. Plenty of room out there for everyone to make a buck and for everyone to get the crap they're looking for, boat.
Yeah. Speaking of crap you need in your life, Aaron, I am proud to be the first to announce on Amigos the one and only David Pleasance has launched his own line of apparel.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Now, I know what you're thinking. I need a new tracksuit. You know, you're wearing the tiger print one out that we wore last year for Cocoa Fest.
That's true.
And so it's time to invest in something new. Why not get a Mr. Pleasance authored tracksuit, proud to be an Amigaholic. It's got pictures of various Amigas, both on the hoodie itself and also in sort of the crotchal region of the pants.
Well, on the inner hip, the crotchal region, that's what you're going to go with?
Listen, inner thigh, what do you want me to say?
Listen, if we were going to get into the first of all, I have to see what the sizes are here. I don't see us. I'm looking here to see what the sizing is. These are Asian sizes. That's what always gets me, Bode. You can get triple XL, so I'm not. That's a little bit too small for me, an Asian size.
Yeah.
But if I'm gonna pick, I'd like to see you in the orange, Bode. If I'm honest, I think that's the one I like.
I do like the orange color a lot. I've sort of that's sort of what I'm transitioning to in a lot of my fashion.
I like the price. 35 yeah. pounds or your is yeah. it your that's pounds isn't it
that's pounds
34 yep. 34 pounds
and then it's another 23 for shipping from the eBay's global shipping. It looks like that he's ordered a bunch of these. They are in his flat in Peterborough, United Kingdom. I'm not saying that's where Mr. Pleasance lives. This is where his distributor lives, and they will be shipped to you. They come in glorious colors.
Look at that kind of dark crimson, and there's the purple, also fine.
Yeah, yeah. You told me your nickname was the Purple Daddy last time we were role-playing. So.
Oh, it always is.
Yeah.
You know, listen. In all honesty, I like Amiga branded stuff, right? We both like jumpsuits. And the price is right. Is that, my God, is that the whole outfit for that price, Bo? Am I reading that right?
The whole
34 pounds for that? Mm-hmm. That's a steal. How much did we pay? We paid like triple that.
We did pay.
And ours doesn't say Amiga on it anywhere.
No. We didn't get
it.
I didn't even get a drawstring on my pants. So, yeah. Listen, do yourself a favor, support Mr. Pleasance, and buy yourself a proud to be an Amigaholic tracksuit.
I think that's dandy. Good find, Bode. I love that.
That's a hat tip to Ravi for pointing that out to me.
Yeah.
Finally,
I wonder if he's
going to
be selling those at Kickstarter, Bode. Any thought, any idea on that?
I guarantee he'll have a clothing rack there.
Oh, man. Tell him to up those sizes, Bode, when you see him.
I will. I will tell him. Now, Aaron, this is from a site called retrosupplies.co.uk, and this is a thing that I'd never seen before, an Amiga 600 to 500 converter. This converts your Amiga 600 to an Amiga 500. Now, Aaron, you're a learned man. Why in the world would you want to do that?
That's not actually what it does. It allows you to run an Amiga 600 accelerator. It allows you to test it on an Amiga 500 motherboard.
But it says Amiga 600 to Amiga 500 converter.
Yeah, but it doesn't actually. It's not converting the 600 to a 500. It's allowing you to test the accelerators from a 600 to a 500.
I call that
it's sort of deceptive.
Named. Yeah. Well, there goes that talking point. I thought
now
you were
that much said,
tell me
if you're
all
gonna
the amazing reasons why you'd want to do that.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna tell you some. If you do that conversion, 600 to 500, bam, you got a numpad right there. The Amiga morphs. It morphs out.
That's impressive. That's impressive. I like
so,
it.
That's the way exactly the way it works, man. You know, Boat. I know another little thing. It's a happy little thing. It's going down relatively soon. I mean, in terms of the way you look at the universe, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Boat Fest, brother. Boat Fest 2024. I know you're too humble a man to bring this up. You're too humble, but I'll bring it up for you because your humbleness is what makes this event go. And your spirit of citizenship and camaraderie, what power, Boat Fest 2024. And it's coming. It's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, June 14th, 15th, and 16th in beautiful, scenic, historic, the former railroad town of Hurricane, or Hurricane, if you will, West Virginia. And it's all going down. And guess what? You could just think to yourself, man, I could go to this thing. There's going to be a bunch of retro computers there. There's going to be a bunch of enthusiasts there. They're going to be playing with these computers and doing things I've never seen before. I'm going to be seeing computers I've never even dreamed of seeing. They didn't know existed. And certainly the largest and most eccentric computer collection in the history of West Virginia. You're going to see all that stuff. Are you going to see live shows? Sure you are. But you're also going to see John Boat of Carshaw are there live. He'll be signing autographs. He'll be shaking hands. He'll be kissing babies. He'll be doing everything you need to make you a happy boy. Tell him, Boat.
You know, this year is going to be the first year of Boat Fest. We couldn't believe it. It happened.
We couldn't believe it didn't explode.
Yeah. The second year of Boat Fest, we were sort of still finding our feet. This year, everything is coming together. We've got a perfect event space. It's called the Social Event Space. It's the former site of a dry cleaners. So imagine
it.
Yeah, it's a huge, huge, massive room. It's like a miniature warehouse. And so we're going to have plenty of table space. If you buy a ticket and you want to bring your own setup, we have people that are bringing a conceivable retro computer that you can imagine. Everything from the new Amiga, the X5000 that Level Lord brings every year. We're going to have 48K RAM, who brought his BBC Micro Master Edition last year. He's got a bunch of fun things. And then we even heard from a guy, a local fellow, who's got Heathkit computers that he's thinking about bringing down. So
yeah,
this is going to be a, no matter what kind of retro you are into, you're going to find your you can scratch that itch at Boat Fest. But we're also going to have a featured table that's going to have all kinds of wacky antics on it, such as, tell us about the new game that you just purchased for the featured table, Aaron.
Well, you know, I wish I'd brought it down. It's sitting right up here behind me. We've got a thing this year that we're going to try out called the featured table. About every hour, every 2 hours, we're going to just change up what's on it. And so one of the things me and Boat really enjoyed, and we had a really fun video a couple years ago making it, was playing a game on the Odyssey 2 that's a combination of video game and board game. It's called Quest for the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept of that, it was, you would think to yourself, man, no one's doing this. It was almost exclusive to the Odyssey. They had three of these things. But I had heard years ago that the C64 or the Apple or Atari had one as well. And I managed to procure a copy of this game.
Ooh.
And had it sent here. It's all about drilling for oil. And I've got I'll tell you, the copy I got is pristine. And so we're going to sit down and we're going to try out these board games. I mean, and this is something, unless you have an Odyssey 2 and a TV that'll run it, and you've got the game, you're never going to get to do this. Or if you, same thing with the C64 game, you're never going to get to play these things anywhere else without a lot of effort. We're going to set it up. We're going to have it ready to go. Do you want to try your hand at some, electric football? We're going to have one there. If you want to try your hand at this bizarre, weird soccer game, Subutico, we're going to have it there. We're going to have something going on every couple of hours for the entire weekend, just so you can have something different to do. We're going to film it so people can see what we're up to. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And that's just on top of the, I mean, listen, you've got free reign here to go to any computers you want. The people are usually there that own the computers. They'll give you the guided tour. Everyone's super friendly. It's a lot of fun. And we're not even talking about stuff like the big auction, which we've got coming up, which was a huge success last year. Plus, we go on little dinner trips. This year, we're going to be going to the restaurant that Boat and his wife own. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a friendly, no-pressure environment where everyone's chill. Some people just show up and don't know who anyone is, and that's okay. Everyone, just like a big melting pot in the Boat.
That's right. That's right. So you can get your tickets today. It's only $30 for the whole weekend. Boatfest.info.
Very good, Boat. It's going to be a lot of fun, Boat.
What do we got coming up next week on the show, Aaron?
You ready to find out? It's the F-17 Challenge. Now, some of you may be confused. Some of you may be saying, hey, wait a minute, dummy. Didn't you say that was coming up this week? Well, I was wrong. So everyone makes mistakes, Bert. So that's coming up next week.
This Team 17 racing game. I've never checked this out. I'm anxious to see what the Worms guys are bringing to the racing table.
I can't tell if you're excited or apprehensive, Boat.
A little of both. It's always the same every week.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys. Thanks as always for listening. Patreon.com/AmigosPodcast if you want to support us. We'll see you next week. And until then,
adios.
Amigos is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Patreon supporters help choose the games we play, receive exclusive magnets, and get access to the Amigos Retro Gaming Discord server. Visit patreon.com/AmigosPodcast if you'd like to support the show and join our community.